Welcome back to American Heritage. This is part two of a series I'm bringing you guys that are talking about homeless veterans in America. Michael Wall is my guest. He was in the Army where he served in Afghanistan as an artillery troop. Michael Wall fell on hard times after leaving the Army and needed a little help, and Passageways was there to help him pick up the pieces and restart his life. Since graduating, he's gone on to do some pretty awesome things and has taken control of his life, and he is in a much better spot. If you like his story, and if you've listened to Tony's story, and you feel compelled, go to www.passagewaysltd.org and donate to the cause today and help other veterans just like Tony and Michael.
I didn't have a lot of help here. My family was lived in another state, so, you know, it was a challenge when you didn't have, you know, like you didn't have many tools at your disposal for help, and that's what happened. I went to the VA, and they first they put me in a different, it was a housing, housing development project around, for WSU. Usually there's like students in there a lot, but you know, there wasn't any vets. And then I got offered this here. I mean, it was just day night difference. You could tell the people that were, you know, doing volunteer work here, they were actually putting the sweat of their brow into it. Like, I felt at home here, and I didn't even have a home. So. Yeah. Yeah, it was something else.
Yeah, so I guess we'll start off.
Sure.
So you were in the military, obviously.
Yeah, I was in the Army. Boot camp was 2006, Fort Sill. And then I got out at Fort Lewis. Well, now it's Joint Base Lewis-McChord. So.
Okay. How long were you in the Army?
Almost 5 years.
Yeah?
Yep. I was artillery. I was 13 Whiskey. I was a ballistic meteorologist. But, I mean, I had tons of jobs. It wasn't just that. I mean, I was PSD for my battalion commander, and he selected us from a group of 22 men out of our battalion. You know, so like I had to do that kind of training too. To, but I did a lot too. A sling load. I mean, I never thought I'd do sling, like have this a helicopter this close to my face. Well, you know, in Afghanistan, that was something else. And then seeing those little camel spiders are fast. I will say that they. Very fast.
How big are they really?
Oh, I mean, they get big, but I mean, they're so fast, like it's hard to keep an eye on them because they're just bouncing all over the rocks and stuff. I mean, but they can get pretty big out there.
Are they as big as your hand, like some of the pictures?
Yeah, I never seen them. I never seen that big one, but I did see some fast ones. That's for sure. But yeah, what else did you have for me?
So Afghanistan is where you served, right?
Yeah, Kandahar.
Okay.
Yep. So, I was there 2009 to August, I think it was July of 09 to August 2010, like the beginning, first week of August is when I went home, my birthday.
Yeah.
I think I was there for my 22nd. I wasn't there for my 21st, but 22nd I was there.
Yeah.
So I got to have a few drinks. So I celebrated two birthdays at once that day.
Nice. What day is your birthday?
August 5th.
Okay. Mine's the 6th.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Okay. All right, Mr. You're a Leo too, right?
Yep.
So you already know.
One day apart. Yeah, that's cool.
I was with 5th Brigade, 2nd Infantry Division. We were the only striker brigade to go to Afghanistan. And we were part of President Obama's surge, because originally we were supposed to go to Iraq. Mm-hmm. So I trained for 5 years for Iraq, and then last minute our orders changed to Afghanistan, and it just, you could tell when we got downrange we weren't prepared, you know. I felt like other battalions, they were taking major hits, and it was a rut that, you know, that was rough, you know, but we switched over to the MRAPs mid-tour, so that started, say, you know, helping us out a lot. But those strikers with those flat bellies, just no good for IEDs.
Right, yeah, you need that V-belly to counteract it.
Yep, exactly.
And then, yeah, from there, you know, and then they got the Meerkats and stuff, so you guys did a lot of convoys and things, I can imagine.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, so that probably got pretty rough at some points.
A lot of the times, I was at Kandahar, the Air Force Base, but I would go out on patrol a few times. I went out to Ramrod and Frontenac. Those were fun little fobs to go out to, because you really see. I mean, they had the first day I was in Kandahar, I didn't realize I was in it until I was on my top bunk, and Wolfgang was on the bottom, and we hear the rocket alarm go off, and I never jumped off of bed so quick in my life. And you could tell guys who had seen it already. It didn't even faze them. They're just sitting there back in their cot, just like, you know, boop. You know?
Yep.
It's something else. Oh, what's up, little kitty?
You got a visitor?
I guess so.
Yeah.
little stray running around, I guess.
Yep. So after you were in Afghanistan, you went back to Fort Lewis. Is that where
you're at? Joint Base Lewis-McChord, right? Yep. Fort Lewis, yeah.
Okay.
At the time, it was Fort, because I was there right when they did the merging, I think. They did a changeover and a merging. I just got home for that, too, yeah.
Okay.
Because they're starting to do that now. They're starting to merge the Air Force and Army bases if they're close by together.
Yeah, for sure. So how long were you in the Army then before you got out, once you got left Afghanistan?
After I got back, I was done.
Oh, right away?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Me and a buddy of mine, like Kandahar was always, you know, you get relaxed out there, and then like that's when stuff gets close. Like I was at the gym, and a mortar hit the laundry facility right next to me when me and my buddy Sergeant Sherman were leaving, and I didn't realize how close to death I was. I mean, it was pretty loud explosion. It was something else. But most of the time it just hit or miss, you know, like we'd have incoming stuff. And you never expected it to land close until you're like just relaxed, nonchalant, doing what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Very dusty over there too, especially that poo-poo pond. That oh man, that place was something else.
Yeah.
So what else you got for me?
So you got out of the Army.
Yep.
So what did you do when you got out of the Army?
I was doing CO. First I did CO work, and then I got divorced. It's one of the many unseen wounds of war, I guess you'd say. I got divorced. I moved around a lot trying to find my footing, and tried different jobs. Everything from like I was doing corrections, and then I was doing DJing, and I was working at a really nice 5-star restaurant, like just not the like cooking the, you know, the prime rib and stuff, but I mean it was, you know, so you know, like I was all over the place. And then I moved here to Wichita about 2 years after I got out, just because I grew up here as a kid. I went to Menahaw, and then, or first it was Menahaw, Coleman, then Truesdale, then Southeast, then East, then Heights. I mean, I moved a lot as a kid.
Yeah, you did.
But I stayed here in Wichita the longest. So, like, when I joined the military and then I got out, I felt like I didn't feel at home anywhere until I got back to Wichita. And I stayed here from, I got here in 2012, I believe.
Yeah.
And so I've been here ever since. And now, you know, like, I've been going through my own battles since I lived here. I was in a motorcycle wreck that almost killed me, but you know, like I've just been taking care of my family, and I'm engaged. I got a beautiful fiance, and one on the way and one already here, so you know, my hands are full. But I wanted to definitely try to help and show people that this place is legit. Like I always talk it up, because like when I was here, like they actually had a plan to help me. Like, and you know, I felt at home. I didn't feel like I had to be somewhere at a specific time. Like I feel like they let you get your stuff done that you need to try to get you back on your feet. They give you a plan. They're like, all right, well, what do you want to do? This is my plan. I'm trying to save up enough money to get my own place and find a job. And they'll actually help do that. Like the women here that run this place, they're like go-to women. Like seriously,
they are.
You really feel like a sense of help whenever, like ever since I've known those ladies, they've been here trying to help us, and that's all they want to do. They just want to give back to the community and give back to the most, you know, people that have really sacrificed everything for their country, you know, because a lot of people forget that sometimes, and not a lot of people see it. Some people do, but not a lot of people do.
Yeah. How did you get hooked up with Passageways?
So the VA. You know, I was homeless at the time. I was staying at a hotel on Broadway, you know, and I was afraid my car was gonna get stolen. And I was like, all right, I need some help. So I went to the VA and I said, you know, can you maybe get me somewhere else? You know, because the places I've been that you guys have been, you know, they have some places that it just depends on where you go to, because they have different options, and sometimes passageways is full, you know. And so I got the first few days I was staying at a place like downtown, and it was like a WSU center. It was like an outreach center, I think, that also helped vets too. And then the VA, like a couple days later, sent me to passageways. They said that, you know, the ladies just want you to try to go to church. It doesn't matter what church. They don't have very many rules, though. You know, they're trying to have good professionalism here, and they want you to get on your feet, but they don't want people taking advantage of them. So they, you know, they have certain rules. You got to be in by 10 o'clock at night. You know, obviously that's a good time to go down. You shouldn't be out past that if you're trying to get on your feet. You know, like, and then go celebrate God. You know, like, you know, everyone has their beliefs, and they're fine too. Just do it on Sunday. You know, that's it. You know, like, and I never felt pressure. I had the time. I had all the time I need to get on my feet. And then when I was finally there, they gave me all these gifts. You know, like, I had my apartment completely furnished. Like, I had a bed. I had a washer, a dryer. You know, like, if I needed a stove, if I needed a fridge, everything that you could think of, I had because of them. You know, they gave it to me. I didn't have to pay them back or anything. And you can't find that these days, the free help, you know, and they actually mean what they say. You know, like, they will help you get on your feet. Anything you need, they will be there for you. That's 100% true.
Definitely. If you don't mind, I'd love to ask you, how did you end up homeless?
Bad breakup, you know, just, I was just like any other vet, you know, I was hooked on pills. I just had back surgery, you know, like, and, it was an issue for me. Like, I've been on them for so long. I didn't know, you know, it affected my relationship. It wasn't all my fault or, you know, I had to take responsibility for my actions, and I did. But it's going on, you know. Yeah, it's been life changing. That's all I can say. Yeah. Yeah. Life changing. But yeah, I had some issues. Like, every, you know, a lot of vets go through that. We go through pain after we get out. You know, just back surgery and then a motorcycle wreck and then trying to get sober in the middle of all that, that was a nightmare in itself. So, yeah. Definitely. But I did it, you know. I didn't have to go, you know, sheer willpower, but, you know, like, everyone needs help every now and then, and I'm glad I found it when I did, you know.
Definitely. So, if you had any advice to other veterans, you know, maybe somebody who's just getting out of the military, what would that be?
Take it one day at a time. Yeah. Not going to get everything done right away the same way you would in the military. So you just take a breath, you know, and try to master your emotions, because people will try to. In this day and age, it's a lot of people out there are angry, and we need more love. You know, like, it's, everyone's just so amped up, and, oh, you know, we just need to just chill out, you know, because when I got out, I didn't, you know, everything just hit me at once, you know, and just, and bad luck's, you know, with every storm, you know, every storm, there's always you know, cloud break, you know, there's always the ups and downs in life, and you just gotta not let it affect your emotions, cloud your judgment, you know, that's all I can say. I mean, because everyone has different experiences, that's the best advice I could give, is just know that, you know, like, take it one day at a time. My sergeant major used to say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So that's always kind of stuck at me. It's just like, one, try to get one little task done today. You'll be, you know, you'll be good to go. So.
Awesome. If anybody's listening to this who might be a homeless veteran, what would be some good advice for them?
You're not alone. Yeah, there's help out there. You got to take that initiative to go find it, you know, because it's there, but you got to help. The help's there. You just have to get up. You know, the hardest part is getting one foot in front of the other, but if you do it, there's someone at the, you know, finish line with their hand out if you need it. That's, I mean, there's help there. You got to know where to look, and you got to ask, you know, ask around, go down to your VA. And, you know, nowadays there's a lot of outreach programs and a lot of people there willing to help. You just got to know where, go to your VA, you know, that's how I found this place.
Thanks for listening to the show. Be sure to check out the new website at www.AmericanHeritagePodcast.com. There you can find blog articles that I write, and also there's a tab for merchandise. There you can find new shirts that I have. I have one on right now. It's called the Max Effort, and it features an F-105 Thunder Chief dodging an SA-2 North Vietnamese anti-aircraft missile over the Ho Chi Minh Trail. This shirt was inspired by a conversation I had with Wild Bill in one of the earlier episodes. Be sure to check out that episode and head to the website to pick up your shirt today. Thanks for listening to the American Heritage Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with your friends. Also, if you wouldn't mind, please consider being a donor. You can click on the support tab at the bottom of the show notes of this episode and every other episode. If you do that, you'll help offset some of the costs that come along with podcasting. Also, I will give a percentage of the proceeds straight back to homeless veterans via the Passageways LTD organization. They help homeless veterans get off the streets once and for all. So consider being a donor today. Once again, thanks for listening.